Welcome to Trinity Radio. In just a few moments, we're going to go to a recorded conversation with Pastor Adam Powers of Bellevue Baptist Church in Lawrence, South Carolina. But first, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate that you listen to these shows. If you haven't had a chance to do it yet, go review it and give us a positive review on the iTunes page. Also, you can get back episodes, previous episodes of the show on BraxtonHunter.com/podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Also, I want to say that by the time you hear this, my new book, which happens to be a novel, has been released on Amazon in both ebook and as a physical book. And so I encourage you to go check that out. I've tried to do my best to write a good story. I don't like what's called edutainment, where the whole purpose is just to preach a message, although there is some preaching in it. But I hope that you'll check that out and find that by looking up The Chronicles of the Adonai on Amazon or by searching my name, Braxton Hunter. Also, I want to apologize just a little bit for some poor audio that's on this recording. That just goes along with the nature of doing a recording like this over the internet. So with that, I hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Trinity Radio with Dr. Braxton Hunter and Professor Jonathan Pritchett.
Welcome along for another episode of Trinity Radio, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Jonathan Pritchett. Jonathan, you doing all right today?
Fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so glad that you're here. And along with us today, this is a special episode because today we're doing something a little bit different. We are bringing on a theologian and a pastor, and this is a guy that I've worked with before. He is an incredible communicator, an incredible preacher, and very evangelistic. But while we're going to talk a little bit about that, today we're going to be talking a little bit about something that is specifically interesting about his life, and not just that has to do with his preaching or his exegesis of Scripture, but about his lifestyle. So I want to welcome the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Lawrence, South Carolina, my good friend Adam Powers. Adam, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, guys. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, I've preached a couple of times for you, Adam, and I've developed a sort of a trend of canceling things with you.
That's true. I'm not sure what the reason is. I've been praying about that lately.
Well, there was actually, it's not just me. My father was going to do an area-wide crusade with multiple churches involved a couple of years ago and canceled. And then I went up and did preach a revival for him, but then I canceled midway through another revival that we had. And then we were supposed to meet for lunch at the Southern Baptist Convention's annual meeting, and I canceled. And, you know, it's really amazing because that's not something I normally do. In 10 years in full-time itinerant evangelism, I have I'm not sure I've ever, but maybe one other time, had to cancel. So I don't know what that says about our relationship, but despite what that sounds like, Adam, you are one of my favorite humans.
Sounds like you need to get a better evangelist. A more consistent evangelist.
Well, I love the Hunters, and you know that I was saved under the preaching ministry of your father, and so I'll give you a little extra grace than I would someone else.
Oh, amen.
Well, Adam, we're glad to have you here. Now, tell us a little bit about your life. I'll just start this way. When I first went to preach at your church, I got to the hotel. I had never met you before, so far as I know. And so I did what I typically do. I went on Facebook and tried to find a website for the church and kind of get a feel for what I was looking at the next day and all week. And I found you on Facebook. And I found what seemed to me to be two completely different people. On the one hand, I saw this guy that looked like he weighed about 400 pounds. And then on the other hand, I saw this guy who was in muscle building competitions and had, you know, looked like maybe he weighed at most maybe 180 pounds. So something happened in your life that caused that dramatic change. And so tell us a little bit about that and kind of what stood behind it. You can get practical if you want and tell us, you know, how, what you did to lose the weight. But I really do also want to hear about the spiritual issues that you saw at play that led into that.
Well, there's a couple, two major things, and I always try to share this with people. The first thing is when you want to talk about the spiritual aspect of it, I was a believer, I was a Christian, and I loved the Lord, and I was serving as pastor of a church, but I was not happy with myself personally. I didn't like to shop for clothes, that sort of thing. I spent all my life, you know, when I was a kid, I went to the Husky section, and I wasn't just a little bit overweight, but I was obese. I was very much overweight. I weighed 348 pounds, so almost 350 pounds. But then also, I preach hard against sin. I think the Bible is clear that God is against sin, and you would be surprised if you listen to some of the modern evangelical preaching. But I preached against all manner of sin, but I felt hypocritical because I wasn't treating my body as the temple of the Lord, as God had asked me to, as the indwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So I decided just one day, I can't explain it. A switch flipped in my mind and in my heart. And so on December the 8th, 2008, I began going on a diet. And it's really strange because December the 21st that year, we went on a cruise. And if you've ever been on a cruise, it's impossible to try to eat right. But I went to the gym there. And so through that process, though, I'll say at the end of it, before I talk about some of the practical matters, I felt better about myself. I had more confidence in myself. And also, I went to a local gym and was able to win the gym owners to the Lord, a lot of people in the Lord on personal one-on-one evangelism, because literally people saw this very overweight guy. And then they saw the transformation where I went from 348 pounds to 166 pounds. And they'd come up and they'd say, "Hey, what happened? Or why did you do this? Or how were you able to do it?" And then I began to share with them my testimony. And so it was a great thing as far as a pastor, just being able to be out in the public and people that maybe would never come to church that would come up and want to know my story.
Now, how long did it take from the day you decided to enter the gym that you were going to change your lifestyle? How long did it take to get not the results of where you are now after doing this for a while, but where you started to regain that confidence? How far into it did it take? Did it require you to be disciplined enough to stick with it because you didn't see immediate results or anything like that? Or what was that like?
Well, it took 13 months for me to lose the weight. I went to the gym every day except for Sunday. And so it was 13 months. It was really February of 2010 before I had lost all the weight. But really, I would say in a month's time, I began to build that confidence and people began to notice a change and that sort of thing. So within a month's time, I started to feel better because I was accomplishing something. But 13 months is what it took for the total transformation.
So a little over a year and you're completely, physically speaking, a different human being. And so that's pretty encouraging because in a year from now, we're all going to be a year older. Braxton's going to be a year older. That's a remarkable fact, I know. But you can be a year older and maybe weigh the same or more, or you can be a year older and totally transform your health situation. So that's incredible that it only took a year's time to go from, what did you say, 348 to 166 pounds?
Yeah, and see, the thing with it is, Jonathan, that's very profound about that. And I know, you know, it's silly to say, you know, think, yeah, we're going to be all older. I always had a reason why I couldn't do it then. You know, Christmas is coming up, and you're going to have all those Christmas food and family get-togethers, you know, New Year's, and, oh, it's my birthday, and I'm going on vacation. And so eventually, it's like anything, physical or spiritual, you have to come to the point where you say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to change today.
Yeah. Now, Adam, what I want to focus on too, and you kind of sounded like you really wanted to underscore this. I was just telling someone today when I try to lose weight, and you know, I have throughout my life had times where I've reached a certain a certain weight and then began to hate myself enough, so to speak, that I kind of hit bottom and decided, oh, I got to change this, and worked out, ate right, and then got down to, where I should be, I guess. But then, you know, after a couple of years, I would drift back up. But, you know, what it takes for certain people to get to the point where they decide, I can't go on like this, I've got to change, is usually one of a couple of very simple factors. Number one, I want to be healthy. You know, I want to be healthier. I want to live longer. I want to, get off this medication, whatever it is. But I think actually more than that for a lot of people is I just want to look better. I want to feel better. I want to look better. But for you, I'm sure those were still, issues that were on your mind. I mean, how could they not be? You're human, and those aren't necessarily bad things. Those are, good things. You do want to look better. You do want to feel better. You want to represent, God better in how you manage your physical body. But for you, it really was that spiritual issue of what does this say about me? I mean, I'm up here preaching against people doing drugs, drinking, and all these kind of things. And look at me. And I realize there's a debate about those things aren't necessarily the same, but on some level they are. I mean, it's something where you felt like you were, would you say maybe gluttonous or something like that? And you thought, I've got to change this because I'm a poor witness in this way.
That's right. You know, sin is sin regardless. And we understand that. And there are some things that are more socially acceptable. Now, I think it's a sad day in America because some of the sins that we have always not socially accepted are becoming more socially acceptable. But then today it's wrong. And so for a person that would drink alcohol or a person that would have an affair or any of those sort of things is socially unacceptable as they were. We have in our faith, and especially, I hate to say this, in church, we revolve everything around food, and to be overweight and to really destroy the temple of the Lord in gluttony, it's okay.
Was it a case that you were, because I want to kind of make a distinction here. Some people are overweight, but they don't necessarily gorge themselves on food. Would you say that you were gorging yourself on food and that's the cause of your being overweight? Or is it a myth that the only reason why anyone's overweight is because they eat too much? Or see, I don't really know much about this except that I probably eat more than I should. But I'm just curious if it was a case that you saw in yourself that you were overindulging in food, or you just thought I need
absolutely.
To lose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, there are medical conditions where people are overweight or medication that they take, and this might sound a little bit harsh. There are those cases, but for the majority of it, it's very simple principle about losing weight. It's calories in, calories out, and most people that are overweight, they're eating more than they're spending. But for me, it was more than that. I was getting a fulfillment and a joy out of the food instead of the Lord.
Yeah. So you I remember you saying something to me one day. I said, "Hey, I'm working out again." I said, "I'm running regularly, and I know what people say. It's not good. It's better to walk than to run because you're going to hurt your knees." And you said to me something that I have been saying to everyone, which is, "Yeah, running might be bad for your knees. You know what else is bad for your knees? Being overweight." I've always thought that was great.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It's like when I lift weights and now I'm much into competitive bodybuilding and weightlifting. And, people say, well, you can't squat heavy. Squatting heavy is bad on your knees, or running on the treadmill is bad on your knees. It's much worse to be twice the weight that you should be. That's much worse on your knees, on your heart, on your entire body.
Well, yeah. And, I think, none of us are medical doctors here, but you obviously have experience with this, and Jonathan and I do to a lesser extent. And I think there are a lot of myths that people have about this, and there's a lot of what you call bro science, stuff that guys pick up in the gym and act like it's, a scientific fact or a medical fact. But, I've always found that for me, when I moved to Evansville, Indiana, about 8 years ago, I started working out. At that time, I had one of those moments. I was not spiritually motivated, so you're a more spiritual person than I am, I suppose. But I started working out. I got on the scale and saw that I weighed 225, which was more than I had ever weighed. And I started working out, and in only just a few months, I got down to about 170. A couple of days, I was 168 or something like that. And I found that I kind of had to buck a lot of the advice that people will give you. You know, you're overdoing it or whatever. And of course, some people, what I did would be overdoing it for some people. But it's almost like everyone is working against you when you're trying to lose weight. You know, it's everyone in your family is trying to give you food. Everyone is trying to tell you, hey, that's, you know, you're overdoing it. You're anorexic. You know, this is not good. This is bad for you. And you almost, and I've learned this, don't ever take weight loss advice from someone who is skinny and has never been overweight. And don't take weight loss advice from anyone who's overweight and has never been skinny, right?
That's right. And, you know, it's, I was in the gym one time and there was a young lady. She was laying on the floor on a mat doing crunches. And literally she was working with a trainer. A guy comes and leans over and says, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, I'm trying to develop my abs." He says, "Well, you want me to tell you how to get abs?" And this guy has this big belly. And I thought, tell yourself how to get abs. You know, everybody's is a professional in their own mind. And so I understand that totally. And you have to understand that you can't take advice from people that haven't been where you are. The other thing is you don't have to take pills. You don't have to have surgery. You just have to make a decision, put the work in there, and eat right.
Jonathan, I'm going to have to send back these anabolic steroids that I ordered from Mexico.
Well, I was just curious. Now, you were in there 6 days a week. So for some people, they're thinking, man, that is quite a commitment. About how much time in the gym? Because when I used to go to the gym regularly, it was between 35 and 45 minutes. There was one point in my life where I had dropped 60 pounds because I ended up about like Braxton was, where you get into a new situation in life and you find yourself packing on the pounds and you got to do something. And I lost, I guess over about 8 or 9 months, I lost about 60 pounds. But I only did 5 days a week, maybe 35 to 45 minutes a day, and then probably just walked with my family for an hour. And so I guess everybody's different, but for me, I think doing something is better than doing nothing. But if you were to encourage somebody who was thinking, if you were to encourage Braxton and I, who have found ourselves needing to go back to the gym, I mean, before someone makes a diehard, all right.
Speak for yourself there, buddy.
No, I saw you 20 minutes ago. You need the gym too. Neither one of us are Adam Powers, and we need to be. So what I'm saying is to get somebody into this without the fear factor, you know, you're going to go to the gym and everyone else is going to be in way better shape than you are. And are you thinking, do we have to do this every day? Or how would you start somebody off to encourage them, Adam?
Well, you have to understand, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And everybody has 24 hours a day. And so if a person's like me and they need to lose over 200 pounds or nearly 200 pounds, I should say, they're going to have to put more work in. When you watch The Biggest Loser on television and you see those people, they're in the gym 8 hours a day. And that's how they're able to drop 200 pounds in, you know, several months instead of several years. Not everybody needs to spend the time, the 6 days a week, the hour and a half a day that I did to get the results that they need. But something is better than nothing. And that's the thing, is you've got to get out there and just start doing something. If it's playing with your children, if it's walking, you don't have to join a gym, but you have to realize that you can do it and get out there and make a difference.
Well, you know, I think a lot of times what happens is just like with praying or, I need to pray more. I need to read my Bible more. You know, Christians have this checklist of things and we're almost Pharisaical about it where, okay, if I talk to someone about the Lord, if I read my Bible, if I pray, if I X, Y, and Z, now I'm a good Christian. Now I have, you know, satisfied the law, so to speak, you know, whereas, you know, and when they think that way, what they end up doing is they start reading their Bible. They might do it for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then they stop doing it
because they're just trying to do it as a checklist. And it's kind of like a marriage where I say, okay, if I love my wife, okay, I'm loving my wife if I'm bringing her flowers occasionally, chocolates, I kiss her at least once a day, and at least every 2 or 3 days I tell her I love her. Okay, now I'm a good husband. When really the answer to either of those things is, I've got to get passionate about Jesus, or I got to get passionate about my wife. And the way I do that, I recommend people just pray and ask God, give me a passion that I don't currently have for that. Give me a desire to want to do those things. In the same way, I think it seems a little bit more removed in a situation like this. But like you said, if you can stick with it long enough to where you start seeing some results, or if you can get to the point where you are passionate about getting in better shape, and you really are believing that it's going to make your life better and it's going to please God and all those things, that's the only way it's ever sustained, I think, is when you have a passion. If you're just doing it as a checklist, you're going to fall off just like these other things.
You're right. It's just like sharing the gospel. When I pastored my first church and we had a tract ministry and we'd keep count of how many tracts that we gave out in a week, the goal came more about how many tracts I could hand out rather than seeing lives transformed by the gospel. And so it had to become a thing where the gospel was my priority and seeing lives change. Now, if that meant I handed out 5 tracts or 500, I was doing it in a different mindset. And so there are people, ladies will get ready for a wedding and they say, I've got to lose weight to get in this dress. And it's like memorization in elementary school. You remember all the state capitals until the test is over and you forget about it, because the goal wasn't to know the state capitals. The goal was to pass the test or to hand the tracts out. So it's got to be a lifestyle rather than just, hey, I want to do this thing temporarily.
Now, that's great. That's a great analogy, especially for Dr. Pritchett and I, who are currently brushing up on our Greek. You know, we were talking the other day about how people just want to pass the Greek test and then forget everything. But yeah, that's good. And let's bring the evangelism together with this, because you brought up something that I don't think most people would ever think about for two very important reasons. Number one, most Christians aren't thinking evangelistically. Now, you are a particularly evangelistic pastor. I've been around you at restaurants and things out to eat, and you're evangelistic. And obviously, in your preaching, you're very evangelistic. I'm the same way. And getting people to think that way, typically they say, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. Well, you know, Christians are called to be evangelists. You may not serve in the office of a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher or whatever, but you're still called to share the gospel. So number one, you were thinking evangelistically, and when you started to lose the weight, since you already had that spiritual motivator of, I'm doing this really as much or maybe more for the Lord than I am for myself, you already had that motivator there. And so when people began to ask you, which they would, hey, how did you lose all this weight? My goodness, this is crazy. That was an opportunity right there to share the gospel. I don't think most people think about weight loss that way. And it's just one of many reasons I've told you I think you ought to write a book on this, because I think it would be very helpful for people to think about this from a heavenly perspective instead of so much from a, you know, Sports Illustrated perspective. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I do is every year around January, I will put out in the community, in the area, that I'm going to share my story about losing 182 pounds. And here's what happens. I can have the best sermon that I have ever preached and do the best marketing, and we will not see many people come to church that aren't already coming to church. I can go out and say, hey, I'm going to tell you how I lost 182 pounds without weight loss surgery or without pills or anything like that. And literally, lost people will pack our building out and they want to know about losing weight. And so God gives us all these things in life as ways that we can lead into the gospel. I am not here to be a personal trainer or a weight loss guru. And I am going to write a book, Braxton. I'm working on that. I'm trying to get through this MDiv and PhD. But I, you know, use those things to do the purpose that I'm here. I feel like God's left us here so that we can win other people to Jesus. And I want to take as many people to heaven as I can. And if they're not going to listen to me necessarily to come preach or something like that, but they come up to me in the gym or come up to me in public and say, hey, I heard about this, or tell me about this. I'm wasting my time and their time if I don't give them the real motivation and what really matters at the end of the day. And that is, you know, Jesus.
Okay. Well, now, you mentioned something in there. You said that when you mentioned that you're going to talk about weight loss, you pack the place out. Is that something you've done at your church?
Yes, I've done it. I've been at Bellevue for 4 years. I've done it three times. On Sunday nights, we will absolutely pack the building out on a Sunday night. If I put out in the paper or on, you know, a billboard that, hey, I'm going to talk about this, people come. It is something that people are interested in. They want to hear about it. They want to hear about how to lose weight and that sort of thing. Now, unfortunately, they want to come and they're hoping that there's some kind of secret or there's some kind of shortcut, and there's not secrets or shortcuts to success. It's hard work.
Well, now, okay, so we've talked about the spiritual stuff, and that's obviously the most important. But now because people clicked on this podcast for a reason. It's not just to hear our beautiful voices. I think they probably clicked on this podcast because they want that secret, you know, silver bullet that's going to help them lose weight overnight. But I've heard you say before, when we've talked about this privately, that when you did this, you kind of had to make a commitment to just to camp out on the treadmill for an hour and a half every day. So why don't you walk us through what you did specifically and give us some real practical, okay, here's what my time in the gym looked like at the beginning to where I got to where I was starting to get some traction with this.
Well, okay, I'd be glad to do that. And it's funny because this is going to go counterculture to the fitness industry. Everybody says, you know, you've got to eat broccoli and asparagus and all this sort of stuff. Here's the bottom line. This is what I did. I ate half of what I had been eating. So, if I was going to have a cheeseburger and french fries, the first thing I did was I ate half the cheeseburger, and I just went in the gym and started working out. I started seeing results and that sort of thing. I didn't have to go pay a personal trainer. I didn't have to go buy a book. And, you know, we overcomplicate what it is practically. And if I'm going to lose weight, and if I'm talking to somebody that's going to lose weight, and by the way, in this service that we've done before, at the end of it, I have an altar call, and I offer for people to come and respond to the salvation invitation, but also have people come respond and say, okay, I'm tired. My message title that I usually preach is called How to Lose Yourself. And I'm tired of who I am. I want to find out who God wants me to be. I want to be maybe healthier or lose weight or whatever. And those people, I would tell the same thing that I tell our listeners to today is the first thing is just cut back on what you're eating and to go and get active. I work out 6 days a week still, not because I need to, but because I love to. And every Saturday when I get done working out, I go up the street to the donut shop and I have a fresh hot donut. And there's people that are going, oh, you can't eat donuts. Well, sure you can. I mean, you can do those sort of things if you are working, putting in the work, and you're eating well most of the time. You can go and have pizza on the weekend or whatever. You don't overcomplicate it. It's just I've got to make a change, and so I can't keep doing what I'm doing. I've got to get active. I've got to eat less, and I've got to make better choices.
Now, in your church, has anybody else kind of followed suit and started losing the weight, kind of inspired by your own story? And are you seeing a change in the members of your church, or is that something you're still working on, or how is that?
I've seen there's one couple that was in our church that. Together collectively, they lost almost 200 pounds in a year's time. There's another young man that he lost 80 pounds, 100 pounds because of it. And by the way, this is interesting for the listeners. The lady of the couple, she lost nearly 100 pounds herself. And it was because, listen to this, she wasn't eating enough food. She was starving herself like a lot of people do to try to lose weight and wasn't feeding her body properly. She started eating better, eating more, and getting active, and she's a totally different person. You wouldn't recognize her.
Okay, now a couple of things. First of all, you're telling me you're doing altar calls about this thing, and I guess you haven't been reading the latest propaganda material from Lifeway that says altar calls are of the devil and are unbiblical. And see, it's bad enough that I'm doing altar calls and seeing people get saved. You're doing it that way, and you're saying, come lay your McDonald's on the altar. I don't know about this.
Well, here's what you have to understand. Just like the big overweight guy was telling the girl how to get abs, you can't listen to people, especially that have never pastored a church and never led in evangelism and in baptisms, tell you that you can't do an altar call, because the Bible, Jesus always demanded a public response. So believe it or not, everything that you read on the internet or read from Lifeway is not true.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, the other thing I was going to say is, now you said that you tell people certain people who are starving themselves. And I guess what you mean there is that they've lowered their metabolism by starving themselves, that they're not losing the weight, because they're not eating enough. Now tell me where, or maybe I should just give a corrective here, even though I'm not a fitness trainer. I don't have the experience you have. I think that is important. But at the same time, and this is where I say that these people that have never been fat need to, you know, you don't take their opinions with a grain of salt, because all I hear skinny people who've never been overweight say is, hey, listen, you got to eat lots of food to lose weight. Make sure you're eating. I mean, to listen to them talk, it's almost like, yeah, you better be eating two McDonald's meals if you're going to lose weight. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. And there again, you have to qualify the advice that you're getting from people. And what happens, though, a lot of times is somebody that's overweight, and I'm talking about not just 10 pounds overweight, 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight. Okay, they say, all right, I'm listening to this guy. I'm listening to Pastor Adam, and he's telling me I can do it. And so I'm going to try it. And so they go from eating 3,000 calories a day to they eat celery for 3 days, and nothing changes. What actually happens physically is their metabolism shuts down. It goes into a survival mode, and it holds on to everything. And so after 3 days, they haven't lost any weight, and they go, oh, well, I can't lose weight. I'm big boned or something. And they stop trying to lose weight. And so they were at one time eating way too much. And now for this short period, 3 days, a week or whatever, they're eating not nearly enough. And so they're not seeing the results. And that really is what I'm talking about more than it's not that this lady wasn't eating enough all the time. It was when she was trying to diet, she was actually being counterproductive with her body and her metabolism, because she would just go to an extreme. And that's not what we're trying to communicate.
All right. So is there anything you want to say about the weight loss, about the muscle building side of things? Because we probably need to end this up pretty quick. But at the same time, you not only lost this weight and got down to, I think you told me, somewhere in the 170s after being 350 or whatever you said you were, but then you started building muscle. And I think the way you explained it to me, because a lot of people will tell you, and maybe this is good advice, to build the muscle as you're losing the weight, because the muscles are burning calories all day long and all that sort of thing. I think you lost the weight and then started building the muscle. But either way, you built muscle and then got into muscle building competitions and look like some kind of a Greek god, where it's certainly not the same character that I saw in the before pictures. So is there anything you want to say about that, how you did that?
Yeah, Paul said to the church of Corinth that we glorify God with our body. And I have a tremendously close friend that owns a gym in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and they put on a Carolina Supernatural drug-free bodybuilding show and literally pack out the Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium. There'll be 1,000 people in there each year. They come out and we share the gospel. We pray. These guys come out here and say, you know, this is what we do. And by the way, you know, for me, I understand, you know, build the muscle as you lose the weight. But here's the thing. It clicked for me. I've got to lose the weight. And so I'm not going to try to do 5 different things at one time. I'm going to lose the weight, and then I'm going to build the muscle. And everybody, and especially pastors that are listening today, need to hear this. You need an escape. Pastoring, it's been said, pastor would be great if it weren't for the people. And there's times where you get stressed out, or there's times that you've got deadlines or things coming up, and I can't be a Christian and play golf because I'm a perfectionist, and so I can't do that. So my thing is to go into the gym and lift the weights, and I want to see this creation that God's given me. How can I take it to the next level? And so for me, it's a hobby. It's something I love to do, but I'm still able to continue to share my faith through doing that.
Yeah, I think it's a very inspiring story. And of course, others have done it as well. Dr. David Allen over at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, he's kind of undergone his own transformation. And you're kind of seeing this pop up more and more in theological circles. So I'm encouraged by it. I'm going to be inspired by it and make a change, because I could end up looking like my two brothers, who I don't want to look like that. And I don't think my wife wants me to look like that. And I know that's a shallow reason, but seriously, though, I think it's inspiring to see.
Are your brothers listeners of the podcast?
Probably. They know they need to lose weight. I know I need to lose weight. I'm probably as big as I've ever been. And there's a lot of reasons to do it. The spiritual reasons. Yes, physical exercise profits a little, but we should have that little profit that's there for it. So,
well, okay. Well, I guess we should wrap this up, guys. But Adam, I want to tell you how much I've enjoyed having you on the show. I can't even lie to you. See, I can tailor what pictures I upload to Facebook so that the world can see. And I only put the ones up where I look, like Channing Tatum or whatever. But here's the thing. I'm going to see you here in just a few days as we're having an apologetics/evangelism event in your area with multiple churches involved. And so I can't even lie and tell you that I've been following your method and look great today. But I'm going to start. I've been saying that for 2 years, but I got a new motivation now. I don't have to wait until the moment when I hate myself enough that I can start doing it. I can start doing it right now to the glory of God. And I'm going to do that. So Adam, when's the book going to be released?
Soon and very soon. We hope before the rapture.
Well, if it's not before the rapture, who cares, right? So, I want you to do that because I think you have something to say. Now, I should say before Jonathan has something else I think he wants to say, but before I kick it back over to him and then close us out, none of us are medical doctors. I want to reiterate that again. If you have some strange medical condition, maybe you should take other advice or seek medical advice on applying what we've said here. Take almost none of what I have said as valuable from this as it relates to weight loss and being in shape. But Adam has personal experience, and I've thought you've had a great story. The entire time I've known you, we've been saying we're going to do this podcast, and we're going to have you back because you're also a theologian and a careful thinker and a level-headed guy. And we want to have you back to talk about some theological issues too. But this part of your testimony, I think, is greatly needed today. So, Jonathan, did you have something else?
Yeah, and I don't want to derail our conclusion here, but I was curious because it didn't really come up. Did you have to do this alone, or did you do it with somebody? And is it better to have somebody kind of hold you accountable and go through this with somebody else, or what would you say about that? Or if you can't find anybody, do it anyway. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's good if you can have somebody to help you. But at the end of the day, we don't want to cultivate excuses. I don't have anybody. I did this by myself. I didn't buy a book or follow a plan. I found what worked for me, and everyone out there. And of course, I agree with you that you need to seek a medical doctor and make sure, all that sort of thing, that you can do this. But anybody can do this in any condition, any situation. You can make a difference. I believe that with all my heart. I'm working with a lady now that has back trouble. So she's very limited in what she can do in the gym, but there's a lot what she can do about what she's eating. And so you can do it. If you can find a group of people, that's great, but you can do it by yourself. Two last things, and I'll let you guys finish up. Jonathan, I agree with you that Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little, but I think the emphasis was we all know how much bodily exercise does profit, but it is more important, the spiritual health. But for me, You know, I wanted to do it as a testimony. So bodily exercise profits little in comparison to the spiritual things, but you can do it. But, and I also want to say this, all the listeners of this podcast, you have heard Braxton enter into a covenant with myself and Jonathan and before God that he is motivated. And he's going to do it. So when you see him on campus or he comes and preaches revivals at your church, you need to hold him accountable.
Well, now hold on just a second here. I didn't enter into any covenants. I didn't walk through any animal parts here. But I will. Not gonna make an oath, but I will make a firm commitment that it is very possible I will back out of. That I'm going to try to make this happen. Oh,
way to stand solid there, brother. It says it profits a little, not that it profits little. So I hope I didn't say that wrong. I would say there is profit to it. I hope I didn't say that wrong.
No, you said it right, but that is an excuse I'm told all the time. Well, you know, the Bible says that exercise just, you know, profits a little, but, you know, understanding the scripture properly, and I know that you do, brother. A lot of people try to twist that as an excuse, you know.
Oh, amen. And yeah, and we do know that it says, "Well, you can have that profit, or you can be a gluttonous sinner. Take your pick." You know, so
yeah. And so, Adam, you have anything else you want to say before we close it out here?
Well, thank you guys for letting me be with you, and y'all have done a lot of bragging on me today. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing special about Adam Powers other than Jesus loves me the same. He loves everybody. And I'm just thankful that I was able to make that change. And I didn't do it totally alone. The Lord's been with me. And so anybody listening today, I truly believe the scriptures that we can do all things through Christ, according to his will, of course. And I believe that God wants all of us to be healthier so that we can serve him longer.
Amen.
Well, we certainly appreciate you, Adam, and you being with us. I appreciate your ministry. Now, if you guys would quit interrupting me, see, what you don't know what happens at the end of these podcasts is, during production, we have some nice outro music that is probably playing right now for the listener. And without that outro music, when you're interrupted during that outro music, it totally kills the mood. And we're trying to create a mood here. Maybe today we'll have some more athletic sounding music to get people in the mood to get into the gym. But we have enjoyed your comments, Dr. Pritchett. We've enjoyed your comments, Pastor Adam Powers. I wish there was some place that people could go and listen to your sermons online. I don't think there's anything like that. If there is, you send them to me and we'll put them in the show notes. But folks, we don't have any excuses anymore. It's a long time till Thanksgiving, relatively speaking. And you have time. You don't even have to have a partner. It's good if you do. And we're gonna get on it. I am gonna make a commitment. I want to lose weight. I want to get in shape. I want to do it for the glory of God. So, thanks so much. And listen, this podcast is brought to you by way of Trinity College of the Bible and Theological Seminary. If you are looking for a theological education, if you're a layperson that wants to know more about the Bible and wants to understand things with greater clarity, then we would encourage you to contact us. You can go to TrinitySem, that's TrinitySem.edu, and talk to us about your future at Trinity. We would love to get you on board. One of the things Trinity does that few other seminaries do is we offer a variety of courses as webinars and on-demand webinars where you can actually see your professor right there in front of you teaching and engage with other students. So contact us today and stick with us next time. We'll be back. We have another great show planned for you. If you're not connecting with us on the Facebook page, Trinity Radio has a Facebook page. You can find it by going to my Facebook page, BraxtonHunter.com, and then finding it there. Also, you can get this is the first episode or the second episode on our new RSS feed, which is at, which you can get at BraxtonHunter.com/podcast. And we have a new iTunes spot. The old show is still there, but there are no episodes. So if you found it and there's no episodes, go to the new iTunes and follow us there. Also, if you like the show and you're willing to stay with us to the end of a long show like this, please go give us a positive review. If you can't say anything positive, please don't review us. It costs you nothing to give a negative review, but it costs us something. So we hope that you will give us positive reviews, and we look forward to seeing you next time on Trinity Radio.